This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of IGN Unlocked. It is the world's number one Xbox show. Coming up this week, not a lot, but we're going to make it fun anyway. So the BAFTAs are coming up, which are sort of the gaming's closest version to the Oscars, sort of our most formal award show. So we're going to go through the nominees, make our selections, and then you can bookmark them for later, see how wrong we were. Another Resident Evil game is on the way to Xbox One in the wake of Resident Evil 7's success. Might not quite be the one you're thinking about, Destin, but we'll get to that. And then Telltale announced their voice cast for their Guardians of the Galaxy game. So with that, I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined by Destin Legarry.
Hey, everybody.
Alana Pierce. Great. Marty Sliva. Hey. The two of you returning from PAX East. So
yeah.
Alana, Marty, Martlana, Alardi. What are we going
What's happening? What just happened?
What
just happening? Moana?
Moana.
Oh, Moana. No, absolutely not Melania. You can't call us that. I'm putting a veto on that one.
I like Moana.
Moana's good.
Putting a veto on that
it's
one.
It's not related to my name, personally, but
PAX was good.
It was very cold.
Very cold.
We did make a video on some of the cool new Xbox controllers coming out, including custom ones for Crackdown, Sea of Thieves.
An IGN one.
Did you make Snow Angels?
We could have. The snow was lovely, but it was freezing cold. Yeah.
I was there last year with, I think, a couple of you at least, and it was, there wasn't a flake of snow on the ground.
Last year was fine. The year before was hell.
Yeah, the year before was
kind of in the middle.
Yeah. Between fine and hell. But yeah, games-wise, we got to see a bunch of stuff, a bunch of cool indie stuff. Alan and I were on a couple panels. Mm-hmm. We got to play Mass Effect multiplayer for the first time, which we have our thoughts up on the site, and then obviously we're doing a lot more on that soon, right?
Yeah, it'll probably have already happened by the time anybody sees this. We have a stream of BioWare's coming to town, and they're
going
to
IGN.
Yeah, they're going to stream it with us at it'll have already happened. Noon Pacific on Wednesday.
You can probably still watch it, though.
Yeah, but watch the replay or the breakouts.
Yep. Hot takes are that it's a lot of fun and that the jetpack makes the level design traversal very interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Like hearing that. Also, as we mentioned, so we're recording early, so I just wanted to say in advance, enjoy whatever huge story breaks in the world of
crazy
Xbox.
State of Decay just launched on Wednesday.
Yeah. Go figure, out of nowhere.
Fun. Yeah. So. Sonic got canceled.
Crackdown 3 got a release date.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Every
Scorpio event happened. Yeah.
It happened with no notice.
It's Wednesday night.
Yeah. All right. With that, let's move to the news. As I said, there's not a lot. It's been a quiet week, partially because we are recording early, I'm sure.
You say there's not a lot. There's an intimidatingly long list.
Well, this is pretty much one story.
Yeah. These are just bullet points.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get through them quick, Destin, I promise. But yeah, as I mentioned at the top, the BAFTA Awards are coming up April 6th in London. And, you know, as I said, they are sort of gaming's most formal awards, I think, is fair to say. You know, we've got the Game Awards in December. They hand out trophies there, but
GDC Awards.
Yeah, GDC Awards. I mean, there's always Best of E3, the Judges Awards and such, but BAFTAs are in my opinion, if you disagree, kind of the closest we have to the Oscars.
Seems like they have a red carpet and everything there. So
wow.
Yeah,
what do you think BAFTA stands for?
Bold Athletics Fitness training association.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's not actually an awards ceremony at all. No. It's definitely, the B isn't definitely British. I'm relatively sure the first B is British and the last A is awards. Who knows what AFT is, though?
Oh, it's definitely fitness related.
Like Fig Jam?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on with the I thought we'd talk through these and see what we think. So the nominees for Artistic Achievement. Mm-hmm. Artistic Achievement. Abzu, Dishonored 2, Inside, The Last Guardian, Uncharted 4, and Unravel.
Such a vague way to say that.
So it's funny to say Inside The Last Guardian. What's going on inside that man's body?
I loved Last Guardian. I kind of hope that one will get the Artistic Achievement.
Well, what does Artistic
That's my
Achievement
personal.
Mean?
I mean,
what
this is
mean? Just what is, they were able to accomplish with the tech available to them.
Well, is it, or, okay.
is it art but, direction?
I mean, that's the thing. Is it's insane for Abzu and Inside to be in the same category as Uncharted, because like one goes for incredible photorealism, whereas the other is Inside makes me want to throw up for how beautiful it is.
I think I would go with Inside, but I feel like this category is so open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Like Inside and Abzu... Well, I would say Inside, because the way that it uses the art to tell the story and nothing else is super powerful to me. But then, like, Abzu was like nothing I've ever seen before. Obviously, The Last Guardian does have really impressive tech. It's like, I don't even...
I would also vote for Inside.
I would say Inside.
Shocking.
Same reason. Yeah. I know.
Well, it's my vote.
It's my vote for everything.
Yeah. And
still mad that it didn't win our Game of the Year award.
Dishonored 2 was robbed.
No, it wasn't. The Witness was
Dishonored
robbed.
Dishonored 2 did not win either.
The Witness was robbed.
All these games, very sad. Well, just all these games are fantastic.
Okay.
It's going to be any of them win. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Did you guys play Unravel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought
last
it was,
level sucked,
yeah.
but the rest of it was awesome.
Because I thought it was gorgeous, especially when they showed it at that press conference.
Yeah.
But then I didn't end up playing it beyond that.
It's very good.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally.
You can totally stop right before the last level.
Yep.
That's kind of a shame.
Just don't play the last level.
How long is it?
Four or five hours.
Excellent. Yeah,
65 hours.
I like to hear. Oh boy.
What do you think? So what do you think, Destin? What would you be your pick for? Artistic achievement.
I kind of said Last Guardian, and the reasoning is just because of how committed that guy is to a vision once he sets forth.
Ueda?
Yeah, Ueda.
Trico.
That guy. I apologize.
Trico's actually a girl.
But yeah, the fact that he basically sketches it out and then it's like, this is what we're going to make, and then they make it. It's very impressive, but it's not going to win in very many other categories just because. There's issues with the game, like frame rate slowdown and some gameplay mechanics that a lot of people didn't like. Some people thought that's how it was supposed to be designed. But for me, I would give the edge there.
All right.
That said...
Sorry.
That said, I would understand why Abzu or Inside or Unravel or even Uncharted 4 or any of these... Actually, any of these games would be any... I just listed them all.
Any game nominated deserves to win. That's pretty much every awards category.
Well, this one's going to be tough. I don't know how they're going to decide.
Inside. That's what I said.
All right. It's 3 for Inside.
Audio achievement. So audio achievement, again, quite the eclectic group of nominees here. Battlefield 1, Doom.
Rock and roll.
Inside, The Last Guardian, Res Infinite, or Uncharted 4. So I'll tell you, I'm going to knock Res Infinite out right away because it's an old game.
Oh, suck it. That's my choice.
I know,
soundtrack,
I'm
yo.
I'm saying that's if I've got a ballot in my hand, which I don't.
Because you're not a theft.
That's my thought process there. Doom, I think. I mean, yeah, the soundtrack was cool, but like the sounds are fine.
I hate the soundtrack so much in Doom. I just turned the sound off.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I did. I'm in the minority.
Damn it.
Dude,
I love the soundtrack, and the soundtrack sort of builds the better you get, which I always love. Like soundtracks that adapt to a play style, but it is just like the gnarliest butt rock, and I do not want to associate myself with that sort of rock or that.
You're very outraged by this.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't like gnarly butt rock.
The Last Guardian had a wonderful soundtrack as well.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted 4, just great audio quality. Right? And then, Inside did a lot, was very minimalist. I actually don't know what I would necessarily choose here.
I'm totally inside a Battlefield here.
Yeah.
So this is
audio achievement's different than soundtrack. The soundtrack's already a thing. Or music's already a thing.
I feel
another category.
Audio achievement is the impact that the audio has beyond just how good it sounds. And I feel like Inside, like you guys told me when I started playing, I wasn't playing it with headphones. And both of you were like, that's crazy. Yeah. Play it with headphones.
Because
and
Inside,
I did. I was like, oh.
For all intents and purposes, Inside doesn't have music, right? It is sound effects and it's a soundscape.
Correct.
So it wouldn't be nominated for Best Music, even though it's nominated for Best Music. I'm literally looking at it right now into the future. And also, there's that story of how that dude's recorded a bunch of sounds inside of a human skull.
Right.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
I'm with Alana. Inside definitely deserves a nod here just because the whole tone of the game definitely sets up like the ambiance, and it makes you uncomfortable. And yeah. there's that one area later in the game where sound totally changes. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to spoil it, but there's a very interesting moment. And yeah, the squishiness also adds that unease that you're supposed to feel.
Yes.
And it, which it means really it's helps.
Sounds like you're playing bongos on ground beef.
Kind of.
Right. Yeah. So it might be.
We're in agreement that Inside gets everything so far.
But no,
yeah.
Sure.
All right. What the hell? How is the next category best game? How did we get there so quickly?
That's just how I.
There's audio and then there's best.
So we're going right to it. Best game. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I would absolutely vote for Inside just like I voted for it at IGN. So
the list is Firewatch, Inside, Overwatch.
It's an amazing list.
Stardew Valley, Titanfall 2, Uncharted 4. Where's Dishonored 2?
Where's The Witness?
Hashtag
how come The Witness isn't running for anything? Yeah, of these, Inside.
Overwatch will win.
Yeah, for me, honestly, Inside and Overwatch are the two that stand out the most for best game. I don't know who I would give it to.
Those were our first and second place games here.
Yeah. Overwatch has obviously cleaned up a bunch of awards. Even I think it was our game of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's like fourth on the list. I totally understand why it's winning so many awards, but
it's fantastic.
Again, I would go Inside.
Best British game. So yeah, okay. Marty, British awards, whoa. British
Boy.
Game.
Bip, bip.
So game developed in the UK. I think Australia maybe counts.
It doesn't. No, it's part of the Asia-Pacific region. it definitely does not count.
It's part of the Commonwealth.
A colony or something?
Part of the Commonwealth.
It's a Commonwealth, yeah.
See? Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Batman Arkham VR, Forza Horizon 3, No Man's Sky, Overcooked, Planet Coaster, or Virginia. It's easy for me. I've taken Forza Horizon 3 on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of cars, and I really liked Virginia, so I'm going to go with Virginia. If you haven't played Virginia, you should play it. It's a really good sort of Lynchian Twin Peaks adventure game about a detective and a weird sort of cabal, and it's told via zero words or dialogue, but it tells a really cool story.
Yeah,
I like
so
it more than
I actually finished it last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely didn't like it as much as you are, as Chloe, who reviewed it, and then I found it kind of hard to follow.
Yeah,
You
were too scared, you said.
I did not say that. I definitely didn't say that. It wasn't a fear issue. No, it's a very interesting game, though. And it's both cheap and really quick to play. So if you haven't
checked
it out. Cheap
isn't inexpensive, not cheap as in chintzy.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. As in, does not cost a lot of money. My vote for this one is probably also going to be Forza Horizon. Yeah.
So No Man's Sky is on this list. I don't think that game is going to win, but I definitely respect what they tried to do. But I think with all the PR issues that they faced, with people feeling misled with that product, it has no chance in this category.
I don't think that it would be downvoted based on people feeling misled. You know, the biggest issue I had with No Man's Sky on launch was that it didn't have a ton of substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's been fixed now.
It effectively has. They patched a lot of stuff in. So maybe they judge it differently based on that.
In 2017, though, not in 2016.
That is true. That is a good point.
Yeah. I actually think one game on this list that's going to get a lot of attention, that's Overcooked.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
That's a huge multiplayer game. Everybody in the office who plays it absolutely loves it.
Very true.
And you always hear people laughing and having a good time when they play
it. Yeah, it's super fun.
I could see that one standing out.
Yeah.
All right. Best debut game. So from a first-time studio, developer, a studio making their first game. Firewatch, Overcooked, which Destin just mentioned, Oxenfree,
Overwatch,
That Dragon Cancer, The Witness, and Virginia.
How cool is it that Firewatch, Oxenfree, and The Witness were all freshman efforts?
And so close to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was all within like literally a month of each other.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I would obviously go with The Witness. That was my game of the year last year.
It's interesting that The Witness is a debut game.
I mean, Sekala, it's their first
technically
game.
Technically is, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Firewatch is probably going to win this, but I think I'd go with The Witness as well.
Yeah, I think I am going to go with Firewatch only because I didn't play The Witness.
I totally should.
Yeah, I need to. I did play That Dragon Cancer, but that game's pretty rough. It's just very emotional.
Yeah.
Emotionally impactful.
It does a good job of what it tries to do, but that doesn't mean it's fun to play.
The one that sat with me the longest, though, sorry to interrupt you, Marty, is definitely Firewatch. Like, after that ending, I asked my friends what they decided to do and how they handled it and what they thought about it. It just created a lot of conversation amongst coworkers and friends.
Yeah.
So Firewatch gets the edge for me.
Yeah.
For me as well. Best evolving game. So this is sort of...
This is an interesting category.
Destiny.
Yeah. I think
we should do something like this.
Yeah, this is interesting... It's just a kind of a cool way of saying, hey, a game that's... Like a game as service, basically, and how it's persisted since its release date. So you've got Destiny with Rise of Iron, Elite Dangerous, Horizons, EVE Online, Final Fantasy XIV, Hitman, or Rocket League.
Right, Destin voted Destiny. What do you vote?
Oh, you want to see?
I mean, I haven't. The thing is, I haven't really played. Let's see here. I mean, I haven't played any Destiny since it came out. I've played a little bit of Hitman and a touch of Rocket League, but not really the rest of it.
You know, so
I might have to more or less abstain from this.
Yeah, I really, really liked Hitman.
Yeah.
I really liked the episodes of Hitman. I really just feel like because they released it in episodes, less people bought it. It didn't have like a sustained hype or like one drop that really kicked it.
Yeah,
so.
But I feel like talk about the game grew and grew, not amongst us, like barely anyone in the office played it, but like a bunch of people I follow online and a bunch of devs especially were talking
like
about the game with
no
every
one.
Episode, a ton of the Giant Bomb guys, yeah. Steve Gaynor, Patrick Klepek, like a bunch of people were playing.
It was really, really good and for sure evolving. Like I feel like Final Fantasy, I didn't feel like was as much of an evolving game as the rest
Final
of
Fantasy has had some huge, amazing DLC packages released since its launch. Final Fantasy 14 launched with a base build of the product, and then it has gone on.
Yeah, I mean, Realm Reborn ostensibly just rebooted that game. Like,
yeah,
it
exactly.
Might as well not be called Final Fantasy 14 anymore.
Yeah. And then Heaven's Sword
year?
And
that was last year. Yeah, no, that was Realm Reborn was like 2 years ago.
That's,
yeah.
My serious answer is Final Fantasy 14 because they have continued to refine and add new story content, and the player base there just absolutely loves what they've continued. Yeah,
I guess
to
I just didn't see a lot of that last year, but I also, to be fair, wasn't paying attention. So.
Yeah,
Bungie's not happy.
Oh dang!
Sorry, Bungie. Destiny's not evolving anymore. They're releasing the last update.
This was 2016.
End of the month.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah.
Put your brain back in 2016.
Rise of Iron is not a stellar piece of content. I mean, I think we reviewed fairly around a 7. It's just. There's great stuff for people like me who are nuts about the game, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of story elements that are a problem and things like that. So
yeah, that's fair.
It evolved, yes, but for the best possible outcome, I don't know.
I find this really hard to answer. Probably I would vote for Hitman, but I think Rocket League will win.
Rocket League is mostly plenty of cars, right?
Yes.
Has it added other stuff too?
Modes,
tracks,
yeah, they
modes?
Added modes.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
Okay.
Like interesting modes that like legitimately like turn the rules of the game on their head.
Nice. Yeah. All right, I like that. Marty, did you vote?
I played 5 minutes of these games.
Rocket,
fair enough.
Yeah. Marty picked Rocket.
Best family game. Here's a category we don't think about particularly
Ryan
often. Lego Star Wars: Force Awakens, Overcooked, Playroom VR, Pokemon Go. Ratchet and Clank, or a game I've literally never heard of until this exact moment in time.
Same.
Toka Hair Salon 3.
What?
Is that from the makers
of... the trilogy is complete.
Toka Race Driver? What is Toka?
No.
Yeah. Get your Toka hair game on point. Yo.
Who knows? Man. Who knows what Toka is? The correct answer to this question is Pokemon Go.
I agree.
I'm going to disagree for the sole reason of it's a game where you do this. You're not playing that with your family.
You are absolutely. You're wandering around a city with your family.
It's crazy social.
Yeah.
Going Ratchet and Clank on this.
I don't. Like how, I want to argue with you, but I gave the game a 9. It was one of my favorite games of last year. Ratchet and Clank's incredible.
I'm going to go Overcooked.
That's a good one.
The panel is nearly divided.
No, the correct answer is Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go, because it got people out of their house. There was mothers playing with their children.
Yeah.
My mom and my sister were playing it in Australia and would like text me screenshots of what they were doing, which is super cool.
Yeah.
It opened up like a whole new realm, a whole new area of communication between.
And then it died 2 weeks later.
Parents and children.
And then people stopped playing.
Except for Andrew.
And then Andrew.
Except for Andrew.
Playing. Andrew's keeping that game.
And then did he walk off a bridge or something?
Yeah.
He didn't walk off a bridge. He fell off a slab. Off a bridge makes it sound like he killed himself.
It was a pier.
He like
almost fell in the water.
Hurt his foot. Something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He hurt his leg.
It's very funny.
It is.
Best game design. Now you get into some heavy hitters here. Battlefield 1. So this is. Game design. This is as core as it gets. Battlefield 1, Dishonored 2, Inside, Overwatch, Titanfall 2, and The Witness. How do you...
There's two on here.
That's incredible.
How do you even choose?
It's obviously Dishonored 2.
I know you're going to say that. Just shut up.
It's got such good game design.
I'm going to say The Witness just because of its...
The language.
It created a language that you've learned throughout the game in a way that no other game I've ever played has done.
For this, I see. I mean, it's almost impossible to. How do you differentiate these? So, the way I'm going to differentiate these in my head is what does something that I kind of haven't seen before and it is The Witness.
Yeah, each one of these builds upon a predecessor. Battlefield 1 has a shooter lineage. Dishonored 2 is Dishonored 1. Inside has Limbo. Overwatch has Hero Shooters. And Titanfall
2. My runner-up in this would actually be Titanfall 2 because of how smartly designed that campaign is.
Oh, the single it's so good.
Campaign. But yeah, I would vote for, indeed,
screw you guys.
The Witness on this one.
For me, it's Overwatch. I mean, Overwatch just has really unique characters. They all have unique powers that can either work in conjunction with one of the other players or just solo to do damage dealing and stuff like that. And there's people – like that game is pretty phenomenal from a competitive standpoint.
Overwatch does a great job of putting a group of characters who look like they should not belong in the same game and making them make perfect sense in a line.
Definitely.
I think like including balancing, which they obviously had issues with but have totally evolved along with the game. Like it's amazing that that game works with the amount of characters that are in it, and it really does.
I think it's a Battleborn ripoff.
So no one ever?
That's just me. That's just me. I think they saw Battleborn come out in March and they said next month we're going to release our game.
And yeah, you're right. They didn't really market it at all before
then
that.
They made their game. They made it very quickly, so I give them quickest game of the year award.
Mm-hmm. The next one is a little strange.
Yeah, this is an interesting category. Game innovation. Batman Arkham VR, Firewatch, Pokemon Go, That Dragon Cancer, Unseen Diplomacy, and The Witness.
I don't think three of these games are innovative at all.
Yeah,
I don't think Arkham VR, Firewatch, or That Dragon Cancer are innovative.
I don't think Pokemon Go is either.
And Pokemon Go is literally built on a different video game that already exists.
The same game.
The only reason I even mentioned Batman Arkham VR is because they did VR the best I've seen in a while, besides budget cuts. I think Batman Arkham VR is
budget cuts isn't out yet. That's the problem with
that
game.
Well, the demo. Yeah. But I was very impressed with Batman Arkham VR. But did it innovate? I mean, it put everything together that already existed very well.
Made me feel like Batman for an hour, which was pretty awesome.
It had a really good sense of place for a VR game, like some of the best sense of place.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with The Witness again because that's
me too.
What I vote for.
Me too.
I find this one really hard. I think I'm going to go with That Dragon Cancer.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of games with dragons before.
Did it innovate narrative-wise? Is that what you're thinking?
The way that it told the story and I don't know, it's very hard. I kind of struggle with the word innovation just in general.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard.
Well, to me, you can't say if the thing is innovative until you've seen its mark that it leaves behind.
Yeah, wait 10 years and then you can decide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Also, shout out to Unseen Diplomacy. I don't know what that is.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Still unseen.
Didn't Quadrilateral Cowboy came out last year, right?
Yeah.
Like that would have been a cool thing.
It was
like
a hacking game. Yeah.
Best mobile game, everybody's favorite around here.
Okay.
You've got The Banner Saga 2, Dawn of Titans, Deus Ex Go, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Sun and Moon, or Reigns. I have to default to Pokemon Go here. I mean, I love the Go games that Square Enix Montreal does. Deus Ex Go is my least favorite of the three. Same still one. Really good, but yeah, I'll certainly give a nod to Pokemon Go on this
favorite.
One. Yes, Hitman Go is my favorite too.
Yeah, also Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Easy. Go.
Yep.
Reigns is a really cool game. If you haven't played it on your phone, download it. It is pretty much it's like a fantasy roguelike where you're born as a king and you try to survive for as long as you can by making decisions, but every decision is pretty much a Tinder swipe. And so like someone comes to you and it's this witch and it's like, let me into your kingdom.
Like
and
that
I'll,
part in Fable 3.
Like that part in Fable 3. Exactly.
That's
and
cool.
So, and then you're playing the entire game like you would like try to bang out on Tinder, but then you try to see how far you can last in your, well,
just like banging
Tinder.
Out on Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about lasting as long as you can.
That's a pretty good sales pitch, actually, Marty.
Thanks.
That actually does sound really cool.
Best multiplayer, another tough category. Battlefield 1, Forza Horizon 3, Overcooked, Overwatch, Titanfall 2, and Tom Clancy's The Division.
I really like that Forza is listed as multiplayer because, I mean, it really is a multiplayer game when you think about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's easy to take that for granted because you can play it almost entirely solo, but people will still inhabit your world when you do.
Yeah. Hey, Drivatars.
I mean, all of these games are so good.
I don't think there's a world where Overwatch
doesn't
win.
It's stressful.
There's a world where Battlefield 1 wins this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Compared, like,
that's probably what I would vote for in this category, honestly.
I mean, the thing is, Overwatch is the only one of these that is only a multiplayer game.
Overwatch is fantastic, but Battlefield 1, the only reason I give it the edge is because it's also fantastic, but when you're in that world and a Zeppelin's crashing around you and there's a tank smashing through a wall, it's just action-packed, nonstop.
Yeah.
You don't really know what you're going to experience every time you sign in, and it does a good job of immersing you in that warlike battlefield.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a great
I
game.
I just used the game title in the my description.
Music. This is always a good category. Marty alluded to it earlier. You've got Abzu, You've got Marty's pick Doom.
Don't do that.
The Division was also on that list.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He said it.
I mentioned it.
Just didn't get it. Right,
that was it. Yeah. For music, Abzu, Doom, Inside, The Last Guardian, Uncharted 4, and Virginia.
I love it. Inside The Last Guardian every time. I find it very hard. I don't know what's going on inside that tuft of fur.
Music find out. For some of these, I don't really know. A lot of it's ambient stuff, right?
Inside's definitely ambient stuff.
Yeah. As
much as I love Inside, I think for best music, Abzu is my pick here.
I think so too.
Yeah, Abzu would be my number two pick. That was Austin Wintory, the same guy who's done the score for the Banner Saga and for Journey, obviously. Last Guardian to me, though. Like, I reviewed that game, I had a lot of problems with it, but its score was captivating.
Score was phenomenal, for sure.
I don't remember the music in Virginia.
I don't either.
You love that game.
I loved
weekend.
It. Yeah, she played it last weekend.
I don't feel strongly about any of these, honestly. But I mean, Uncharted 4, maybe just because of the orchestral theme.
Yeah, I feel like I remember it having really triumphant, nice music. But
I don't feel strongly about it, so I'm not going to be like, that's my game.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs 2 had Run the Jewels in it, so that would be mine.
There you go.
No.
Or Final Fantasy 15 would win because it has all the music from all the previous Final Fantasies that you could play while you're in your car.
Gears of War 4 has Run the Jewels in it.
Literally.
It does.
In it.
Yeah.
Okay. They're playable multiplayer
Speaking
characters.
Of Gears of War 4, Microsoft really boned us at PAX.
Really?
Because they had a 40-pound chocolate Lancer.
I always saw pictures of this.
And we went and talked to them afterwards, like, why didn't you tell us that was there so that we could have went and filmed the video?
We absolutely would have made a video about it.
And then our buddy Blaine Howard claimed that he told me about it. And
he said he texted Marty. Yeah.
There's no paper trail. We've never texted before. That's a
but
complete
I texted
lie.
You. Who named Marty? Did
I don't
text?
Know who he texted.
Well, yeah, we're wondering if he texted like the wrong person.
Is Marty O'Donnell?
Marty O'Donnell.
We got this
like,
chocolate Lancer.
Marty's like, I don't care.
Blaine, I blocked you a while ago.
Oh my goodness. All right. Narrative. This is the Marty category.
Oh, dang.
Here we go. Dishonored 2, Firewatch, Inside, Mafia 3, Oxenfree, and Uncharted 4.
I'm going to be honest.
Just put a single round into a revolver and spin
them. I mean, yeah.
Dishonored 2 does not belong on this list. I love that game so much, but I think the narrative is probably the weakest part.
Well, about the mechanics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, how do you even... I mean, I can even only narrow this down to three. It's Firewatch, Inside, and Oxenfree, with all due respect to Mafia, which I only played a little bit of, but yeah. From Marty, how awesome
the story
is.
The game, yeah.
I mean, I'm Uncharted, Oxenfree, Inside.
Firewatch, for me, for the same reasons I gave before. Just the fact that the conversation continued after the game ended.
Sean did a whole show with us, so did Jake. Mm-hmm. I think just the slight letdown of the ending of the reveal. It's either Oxenfree or Inside for me, and like, oh man, how do you even do that? I don't know.
I'm gonna go with Oxenfree, and that's not because I'm wearing a Night Schoolers hoodie right now. That sent me. Thanks, Night Schoolers. Your hoodie is very comfortable.
It is
keeps me
really
warm in this very cold.
It's very
studio.
Soft on the inside.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go Oxenfree because a lot of the sad stuff is splitting the vote for me. So I like the fact that Oxenfree wasn't that sad, which is weird for me because all I like is sad stuff.
Oxenfree is pretty messed up, dude.
No, it's fine.
There's death in that game.
Yeah, there's death in all these games.
I was like, it was great.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
I'm going to go with Inside.
I'm going to go with Inside as well. Yeah.
I still think about that game and what it means. And I love – some people might dock it for that. Like, well, it's super vague. And it's like I actually love that it leaves the player to draw – their own totally open-ended conclusion to, like, what does this really mean?
Inside is somehow it's the only thing where I'm like, game doesn't have a story. Game doesn't have a narrative. That's what I said in that meeting, which
so
is so weird coming from me because I'm all about, like,
aggressively
giving
disagree.
Them trust that people are smart enough to parse through what this thing is about. It ain't there for Inside. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I think the game is incredible. I totally agree with your 10. I think you guys are wrong.
You're getting defensive right now.
You guys are wrong.
I agree with the 10, but you're wrong.
Moving on, I guess.
Yes, wow. Just two more left. Original property, so effectively original IP here. Another great category. Firewatch, Inside, The Last Guardian, Inside The Last Guardian.
Hey.
Overwatch, Unravel, and The Witness.
All right, The Last Guardian is barely an original property.
I agree
thing,
with
that. All intents and purposes, is a sequel to Eco and Shadow.
Yeah.
Inside's a spiritual successor to Limbo.
Yeah.
So
Like, are we relating them on just which is the best game?
I don't
know. Or which is best in terms of being an original property?
Best, because it's best non-sequel.
Or, like, what has the most potential to live on?
I don't know.
Well,
there's never going to be a Witness 2. There's never going to be a Inside 2. Whatever.
I don't think there are any sequels to any of those.
I mean, Firewatch is getting a movie. So that worked.
Overwatch. I actually think for this one, I would vote Firewatch.
Yeah.
But I also want to cry a little, so.
Yeah, I would go. I think I would go Firewatch for this as a property. I don't want to call The Witness a property.
Oh, I thought you said Overwatch. I go Overwatch for this one.
We'll go Firewatch.
I guess maybe if I define it as I think Alana just said of which game I'd want to play more of, like a sequel. Yeah, Firewatch. Give me more. I want more in that universe.
You said that, but it's fine.
Well, we're the same. We're the same people. That's fine.
Thanks, Martin.
We're pretty much like the Lutesses.
Yeah.
When I
he doesn't row. He
when
doesn't
I row. Say it's you, she gets mad that it.
It's fine. This. It,
yeah, but then you when design I say us when correctly. I say it's
her, we deal with
you. Just
this.
Have to do it right.
We deal with
stop
this
being
very
wrong.
Often. It's totally fine. It's
so they're both wearing sweaters.
I can't help being wrong.
Wait, are you wearing your Oxygen
no,
sweater?
I'm not. No, mine's actually closer to Ryan's right now.
Which is,
oh, wow. What's going on? Where's your hoodie, Dustin?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
I didn't get the memo. You guys got to Slack me.
We do look very similar.
It's, yeah. It's
everyone's
like the,
wearing black.
It's like the fancy show with Phil Spencer a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
All button up shirt.
This is the opposite of fancy, though.
Yeah.
This is like this pajama show.
Yeah, we really scaled it back from
this
last week.
This is the Tech Bros episode of Unlocked.
Hey, I didn't drop a pen. That's
oh,
good.
That was
that's
a plus.
My favorite moment.
Final category is best performer. So best acting effectively, whether it's voice or performance or both. You have Alex Hernandez playing Lincoln Clay in Mafia 3. Sissy Jones playing Delilah in Firewatch. No love for Richard Summers.
Yeah, great.
Emily Rose playing Elena Fisher in Uncharted 4. Let's see. Navid, I'm going to hopefully not destroy this. Navid Negaban, I hope I'm close and doing my best as Haj Aga from 1979 Revolution Black Friday, which I know Chloe adores that game.
Yeah.
Nolan North as Nathan Drake in Uncharted 4, and Troy Baker as Sam Drake, spoiler, in Uncharted 4.
Those were easier to say. I'm going to go with Sissy Jones from Firewatch because I think it was incredible because her entire character is a character that only exists via voice.
I'm absolutely with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Elena Fisher.
It bothers me that there's three Uncharted characters on the list.
But the voice acting in that game is very
good. And the performances. That game is the only... the Uncharted cast are the only ones that physically perform their characters as well.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with Sissy Jones from Firewatch.
More IGN love for Firewatch. Yeah. You gotta love it. So those are the BAFTAs. Those are our picks. Whatever we ended up picking. Some of them we were divided on. Some of them... We had a little bit of consensus. So stay tuned. April 6th in London, the BAFTA Awards will be officially handed out.
Every time we get one wrong, drink.
That's
maybe don't do that.
We are not endorsing that.
You have to like choose one of us. Like, who's my sponsor tonight?
All right.
Designated driver.
Let's move on. Just a couple of other stories this week. Resident Evil. We'll be getting another entry on Xbox One, but it's not the Resident Evil 8 that you were probably assuming it was, because Resident Evil 7 just came out. We can't have 8 just yet. Instead, Resident Evil Revelations is coming to Xbox One this fall.
That is the 3DS game.
Why did you do that? You earned so much goodwill from us with Resident Evil 7. Everything is great. And then you did this. Also, this was the game that was misspelled on the side of the box. Revelation.
You said it like an Australian.
That's like Metal Gear Triology.
Yeah. No. That's my answer to this is no.
No.
It's fine.
Yeah, so by the way, the sequel to this is already on Xbox One, Resident Evil Revelations 2.
What?
But as you guys mentioned, one of you, Marlana, mentioned the first one debuted on the 3DS in 2012. Came to 360 in 2013.
Hey, for the Resident Evil fan out there, they're probably stoked.
No, they're not. As a Resident Evil fan, no, I'm not. As a huge Resident Evil fan, this is stupid. This game was dumb. This was the game I had to use a Franken controller for the 3DS.
Likes to re-release things so that
stop
they can make double money.
This isn't double money. This is double money. You get 0.1 money.
Probably not a lot of people are going to buy this. He's right.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, well, if this came to 360 in 2013, it is, in fact, not backwards compatible. So... That's
it. I'm glad this is joining the pantheon of games coming out this fall, including Destiny 2, Battlefront 2, Red Dead Redemption 2, Crackdown, Sea of Thieves, Mario. Yeah, Call of Duty.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, this is going to be fine. This is going to be great.
It's going to sell like something.
If anyone buys this game,
let us know.
You're very passionate about this. You're a jerk. Sorry, Capcom.
No, not be sorry, Capcom. You did incredible with Resident Evil 7. Good job.
Now, just stop.
Wait a minute.
And I'm excited for Marvel vs. Capcom
Infinite. Yeah, when's Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite come out? Does it come out against Resident Evil?
The only way you're able to buy it is if you buy Resi Revelations.
Oh my God.
That would be so good.
Resi Revy?
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to call this Resi Revy.
Nice.
What if it's like $15?
I don't care. If they give me $15, I'm still not going to do it. I'm not going to do this. Okay. I'm not going to take it as a part-time job.
All right. Finally this Marty week, stuff. Telltale announced their voice cast for their Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy video game. Unveiled at South by Southwest, I think it was, or was it PAX East with you guys?
That was.
It was, they did the voice cast a day earlier, and then we talked about it on the panel I hosted at PAX East.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Friday Night Lights star Scott Porter is Star-Lord.
Friend of the show.
You've got Shadow of Mordor actress Emily O'Brien as Gamora.
Gamora.
Filled with turtle meat. Anybody?
What?
Yeah, I got
Thank
you.
Thank you, Marty.
I got you.
I saw a little smirk. Gamora is really neat. He was filled with turtle meat.
I got you. Yeah.
What?
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Got you.
Okay.
One person got it.
I don't think Alana was born when MST3K.
Very confused.
It's coming back.
It's coming back. It's coming back. Okay. Yeah, coming back. April.
You're going to be fine.
Okay. Where did I leave off? Gamora. Yes, is what I really meant. Nolan North. Rocket.
That is.
That'll be good.
That'll be
perfect
cool.
Casting.
Yeah.
That'll be good. Brandon Paul Eels from Watch Dogs will be Drax. And Adam Harrington, who was, I believe, the lead Marty in The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, he's Bigby.
Yeah, is going to be Groot.
So, one of the interesting things about this game is it's five episodes, five Guardians. Each episode is going to focus on one of the Guardians. What the hell is a conversation with Groot like?
Here's the interesting thing. You couldn't get Vin Diesel to say, "I am Groot," with a few different inflections for the game.
Well, I mean, all of these are different actors because this isn't in the movie universe.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So, you got one of your key actors to do Groot.
So bizarre.
I mean, that sounds. They said that
How
he was in the booth.
Groot?
He was in the booth for quite a while. He like
doing Groot?
Several different I am Groots because I am Groot isn't just I am Groot. It's I am Groot with inflection.
Yeah.
Ah.
Also, I feel like it'd be really fun to play Drax because they described him, which I laughed at, as a literal character, as in he is literal. Like his whole thing is that he's literal.
Yep.
Which I really love.
That actually will be really fun to play as.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen him in the trailers and in the movie, of course. He's amazing.
He's literal. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Like, there's the whole thing is centered around this MacGuffin that they're all chasing after, and they get it, and then there's sort of internal fighting about each of them wants it for a different reason. And so each episode is sort of going to focus on, like, the reason they need this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of like.
Yeah, sounds cool.
The setup's really good.
Yeah, setup's good. They said they're going to have the biggest spaces of any Telltale game ever. Star-Lord's going to have his rocket boots, a ton of action. They're going for a very cool, licensed 70s soundtrack.
So just excited for them to do something funny.
Yeah, Tales from the Borderlands is the last time they did that, and they crushed it. Yeah. That was an awesome series.
That's coming.
Like, and I don't like Borderlands, and I love that. So I like Guardians of the Galaxy. So this has me.
Telltale's roots is comedy.
Yeah,
you know, back
exactly.
to Sam and Max, when they brought that back.
Yeah,
and
CSI.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Yeah,
hilarious. For the wrong reason.
God, that is insane. That Jurassic Park came out, and you're like, oh man, Telltale's done. And then Walk Dead came out, and you're like, all right, you guys are back.
Jurassic Park was the game before Walking Dead for
That's
Telltale.
So bizarre.
And I was so excited for Jurassic Park because I love the original Jurassic Park. Not a great video game.
No.
Yeah. And especially the art style was just a terrible fit for their engine and didn't go well.
Well, that's like, I mean, we were talking about Firewatch before, like that Telltale gave the keys to sort of their future to Sean Veneman and Jake Rodkin to sort of one last ditch effort with The Walking Dead. And it turned out to be, you know, game of the year material.
Yeah.
And obviously they left and ended up going on to form Campo Santo and Firewatch. So, yeah, it's a really cool sort of, they've had a really interesting last like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I would for sure bank on Dave Fanoy showing up somewhere because he's been at least a minor character in
maybe
most
who's that,
of the
what's, who's that Michael Rooker character? He's like a blue man, I think, with a boomerang from the film. The racist man from The Walking Dead.
What?
Huh? The guy in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, the blue guy.
Oh.
Yondu.
Yes, Yondu.
Yondu.
There you go.
It was the racist part about The Walking
he
Dead.
He plays the racist dude in The Walking Dead. He plays either Merle or Durrell in The Walking Dead TV show.
Merle and Daryl?
The brothers, Merle and Daryl. One of them's the southern boy. One of them's
Merle and
PT.
Daryl.
Merle and Daryl.
Well, as someone who has not seen that show except for season one, it sounds made up.
Well, so the two racist brothers are Merle and Daryl, and one of them's played by this man Daryl I'm talking about, and the other one is played by Norman Reedus, the upcoming Naked Man.
Oh, Norman Reedus is racist?
No, in the show. But he's not racist anymore. He's a good guy, and he uses a bow and arrow to fight the zombies and protect the children.
Yeah, well, I won't spoil it.
He has a motorbike.
The motorbike is racist.
Oh, dang.
You liked Ashley in Mass Effect, so you don't get stuck.
All right, I liked Ashley in Mass Effect until the last time we played.
Our most recent episode. So his Ashley was actually canonically not racist. She didn't really say anything racist. Great.
And then all of a sudden.
And then he spoke to her. He didn't need to at one point. He just went to the Normandy and he spoke to her.
I wanted to.
She said something super racist. And I was like, yes, finally.
The aliens on our ships are like dogs. Would you allow dogs onto the ship? And I'm like, well, I would.
You can't just give them the keys to the ship.
I would give dogs.
Told you she was racist.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Speaking of which, when Neely finished that Mass Effect series, we'll probably record the last episode.
I think we're finishing the game this week. Yeah, and so what? So
you have plenty of time to finish the next two games.
Yeah,
you got us, Marty.
But really, I wanted to offer an ultimatum.
Ooh.
You said that you would quit your job if you didn't finish the Mass Effect trilogy.
And I stand by that.
That's not going to happen. So, instead, we finish the first Mass Effect game.
Okay.
And then you review Duck Dynasty. That's the only way that you're allowed to stay at IGN, is if you review Duck Dynasty.
But that I don't want to.
You have to.
I don't want to.
You have to.
I said I wasn't going to do it 2.5
years ago. You either have to play Mass Effect 2 and 3 before Andromeda comes out.
I don't think I'm going
to
do that.
Or you have to review Duck Dynasty some point in the next year.
The game was bad and it was racist.
It doesn't matter.
It was about...
I like how I'm not at all your boss, but I'm like, you have to where you're at, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
To be continued.
He's going to review Duck Dynasty.
Can we stream it?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah. You do what you got to do. Destin.
Yes, sir.
What can we spend our money on? Marketplace report time.
Retail, nothing. Digital, we got Styx, Shards of Darkness for $50. Death Squared for $20. Too Dark for $30. Tabletop Racing World Tour for $15. Kitty Powers' Matchmaker.
It's dating sim, Marty.
Really?
It is.
Clicker Heroes. Oh, Justin Nick.
Also a dating sim.
All the time. Free to play. Trove is free to play.
Trove's a big deal on PC. I just learned about this game recently. It's voxels, and it's sort of RPG, not really crafting, even though it looks kind of like Minecraft. But yeah, this game's huge on PC, so it's coming out on Xbox now.
All right. I wish I could tell you to get this a day ago, but Borderlands 2 was available until the 15th. I think you missed it. Playable demo of Halo Wars 2. Some people said they tried it out. They really liked it, and it made them get the game.
It's a demo.
Halo Wars 2 is really, really good. We also have Layers of Fear. That's from March 1st, 31st on Xbox One. Evolve Ultimate Edition.
Let's play that.
It's up on the channel.
Yep.
Evolve Ultimate Edition. That's from March 16th to April 15th. And I was right, it's free to play.
Yeah, it's
but it's free to play on PC.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who tweeted at me to clarify that error. I'm glad I clarified it on this episode. And then Heavy Weapon, available from March 16th to 31st on 360 and Xbox One.
Excellent. All right. So unlock block trivia. Unfortunately, I've been informed by our legal team, we can no longer give things away. There's a whole, it's just whatever. It's all legalese. But I'm hoping, I think this is a fun little quick segment of the show. Would love it if people would continue to send in questions. I can't give you a game or anything else, but we can give you the shout out on the air and just keep this fun thing rolling. And this Destin
continues
his quest for the a three-peat.
Marty's catching up.
A third consecutive.
Well, I definitely know.
What about Phil and I?
Well, you guys have a point.
Thank you.
You're on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Great team.
Thanks. Yeah,
on the board. Marty with two, Destin with three, Phil / Alana with one, Mark Medina one.
All right.
And that brings us to the question, which comes to us from Sean Hassan in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's Cliff Blazinski territory there nearby in the tech triangle. I tweaked his question a little bit because I knew you guys would have no chance otherwise, because I actually didn't remember the original version of his question. But anyway, I'm giving him credit anyway. So the question is about Mech Assault. Classic.
You know this one.
Xbox Live.
I actually think I know the answer to this.
But you've got a shot here, okay? Which of the following is not a mech in Mech Assault? So Mech Assault is an official Mech Warrior game set in the BattleTech universe. So if you've read any of the tabletop game, You got opportunities here in pop culture to have known this. None of you know it.
No,
I might, but I don't want to see.
But here we go.
In case I'm totally off.
So three of these are real Mech Warrior mechs, Mech Assault, and thus Mech Assault mechs. Pick out the fake one. Is it Catapult, Atlas, Cougar, or Razor?
Can I go first if Alana kind of knows it?
Yeah, go ahead, Destin.
So I really don't know it. I'm going to go with a Catapult. I don't know, man. All these seem like they could be mech names. Like they're all pretty believable. I'm torn between a few of them, but I guess I'll go Catapult A.
Okay. Marty?
I'm going to go with Atlas because he was a robot in Portal 2, and under American law, you can't have two robots named the same thing.
Oh, dang.
Alana?
I think it's D. Razor.
Why?
I just feel like I remember the names of the others. That's
okay.
Straight up.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I really... I don't...
Well, you think correctly.
Yes! Holy crap!
Good job,
right.
Atlas is like one of the most popular mechs in the Mech Warrior universe.
Well, then there's a lot of lawsuits coming your way. I didn't realize there was a Mech Warrior universe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You better believe it.
I mean, there
used to be a tabletop
20
game, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Originally. Yeah, pen and paper game, and now there's Mech Warrior Online for PC. Mech Warrior 5 is in development for PC.
I remember playing Mech Warrior 1 and 2 on old PCs.
Old PC, yeah. 2 is
really fun.
2 is like an all-time classic.
Yeah. It has like Fog of War, right? Then you walk around with your mech and you
I believe so.
Enemies.
Yeah. And then
it's really fun.
3 game. Was great too. I played 3 on PC.
I just want more mech games.
Yeah, and then 4 was right I think when Microsoft bought the IP, but
like, I think I've spoken about Armored Core on the show before. I really like Armored Core.
That game rules.
Yeah.
Miyazaki.
Yeah, Mech Warrior is more simulationy in general. Mech Assault, of course, is the fast action, console friendly version. But yeah, Mech Warrior's been
Mech Social Justice Warrior is the walking sim.
Damn it, Marty.
On that note,
well done. If you would like to play for pride alone and no prizes, I would greatly appreciate it. Send your Xbox trivia question, include 4 multiple choice answers, note the correct one in your email, and email it to unlocked@IGN.com. So here we go. Destin, 3 points. Marty and Alana.
And Phil.
Phil, he donated his point.
Wouldn't have been terrible.
You have absorbed the point.
If he got it just completely wrong. Like, Phil getting a question wrong would just be like, how dare you not know? Like, it's good that he did.
It is good. It is good for his own sense of
brand.
Public pride that he was able to.
What was the question?
I don't remember.
Wasn't a banjo one. Was it a year one? I don't know.
Something original Xbox.
About banjos or years?
Oh.
Anyway, so yeah, we've 3-2-2. We got a race.
That lead.
We've got a race. All right, let's get out of here, shall we?
Yeah, let's go.
Destin, plug in anything? What are we up to?
So this whole month, I've been working on Mass Effect Andromeda content. So basically, I just want you to go check out the IGN first stuff. I understand if you're waiting on spoilers, that I get. But there's some safer stuff that you can look at. So check out all the Andromeda content that we have. go.ign.com/Mass Effect Andromeda. Right, Ryan?
That is the correct URL, yes.
Yeah.
You said go.ign.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, and definitely check out Miranda's preview. That's spoiler-free, and you can actually read that and feel safe for sure. Very happy with what we were able to produce with that team, and yeah.
Yeah, I also, PAX thing I'll plug is I wrote a multiplayer preview of Mass Effect Andromeda, which is also now up on the site. And we did some other cool PAX stuff, fun videos that we made. There's a dumb John Wick VR one where I won because Marty had to take his glasses off and couldn't see anything.
Yeah, we had to do this John Wick VR video where we played against each other in this John Wick shootout, and the person at the booth told me, so the whole thing
take
was,
off your
we
glasses.
Would play, one would play and the other one would sort of commentate and make fun of them while they played.
Okay.
And she told me I had to take off my glasses, and I was not like, true. Well, I'm legally blind and I can't. And she's like, no, you can't do VR with glasses. I'm like, well, that's clearly not true. I've done lots of VR without glasses. And so I was just like, well, I'm not going to put up a fight because this video is going to be dumb anyways. I took my glasses off and I played completely blind. And I just spun in circles and fired and died very quickly. And then I watched Alana play and I was like, oh, you can duck. You can grab grenades. Oh, that's what the enemies look like. So that didn't go well.
You got 210 points.
I got 210 points, which was a lot.
2,600
for being blind,
or something.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Marty's new glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's every producer.
Years.
It's very, very excited. Mm-hmm. Sean Finnegan officially shot my first and last video ever with those glasses. I got those glasses while I was at 1UP.
Wow.
And he was our producer then, and then he shot the video.
That is awesome. Far too long for one pair of glasses.
You don't know
that.
You don't even have glasses.
You're
what are you
right.
talking about?
I'm sorry.
Two eyes?
Oh, dang. Do you not have two eyes?
No, I got 4 eyes.
You know what they could do? They could go watch your multiplayer impressions from Mass Effect and then watch video of the actual gameplay.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have B-roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't give us any B-roll. People complained in the comments, like, legit, if we tried. Like, yeah. We want to give you that B-roll.
It'll be available by the time you see this.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nah.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah, we good.
I'm at DMC underscore Ryan. And what have I been doing? Oh, I reviewed the Nintendo Switch Pro Controller, which if you're buying a Switch or considering it, it is something you probably want because it's basically a 360 controller in all the best of ways, ergonomically especially. So, steep price, but otherwise, excellent gamepad there. And I think that's pretty much it.
Sweet. Yeah.
I feel like I'm forgetting something we're supposed to plug. But.
Kevin!
No, it's just the Crackdown 3 release date announcement that's happening
tomorrow. Oh, yeah, thing that we totally missed
because
we recorded earlier.
Yeah.
All right. For Marty, Alana, and Destin, I'm Ryan. This was Unlocked 287, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.